Hello, and thank you for standing by. All lines will be on listen only to the question and answer portion. To ask your question, press star then one on your phone. Today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect. I would like to introduce your host, Ayesha Bell. Please begin.
Thank you, Audra. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the UM Technical Assistance conference call, and thank you for your attendance. We have with us today from DMH, Leanne Reiner, and from the collaborative, we have Dr. Todd Kasdan, Pat Palmer, and Callie Lacey. We don't have any announcements at this time, so Audra, you can open the lines up for questions and answers.
Thank you. At this time, if you would like to ask your question, please press star then one on your phone. You will be announced prior to asking your question. To withdraw your question, press star two. Once again, please press star then one at this time on your phone. Ensure your mute button is turned off to record your name. One moment, please. At this time, there are no questions.
Okay, we'll wait a few minutes. Some questions probably will come through.
Okay. Once again, for any question, press star one. One moment. There is a question from Diane Zog. Your line is open.
Thank you. The question that we have is regarding the individual therapy service limits. We have SAS clients who go in and out of SAS, and then they also receive other therapy when they're no longer a SAS client. But we're finding that we're getting rejections for some of the therapy because they're also counting the SAS therapy in with the therapy that they're getting when they're a non-SAS client, and we were just wondering if they're going to be something to fix that problem.
This is Leanne. So I want to make sure that I understand correctly. You have a person who is seeing a therapist, and sometimes their funding source is SAS, and sometimes their funding source is DMH Medicaid.
Correct.
Correct?
Yes.
Okay. And they're seeing the same therapist,
yes,
right, the whole time, or they're seeing different people?
It could be the same therapist. It could be somebody different.
Okay. Okay. And what you had been doing was only counting the hours of therapy that DMH was paying out of DMH Medicaid and not counting the hours of therapy that was paid through the SAS funding stream.
Correct.
Okay. What I need to do is go back and speak with someone at HFS because this is it's a Medicaid policy question. SAS is actually still a Medicaid funding stream. It's just a separate Medicaid funding stream.
Right.
And since HFS is processing all of the bills, I'm not sure that they treat it any differently between whether it's coming from DMH Medicaid or the SAS funding stream. So I need to follow up and find out if there's something that needs to be done in the IT system or whether that is HFS's interpretation of how it should be treated because they're the Medicaid authority. So I have to go back and ask them. So I'm sorry I can't give you a more definitive answer than that, but I will follow up on it. Can you give me your contact information so I can call you after I've checked with HFS?
Sure. Diana, D-I-A-N-A, Zog, Z like zip code, O-G-G.
Okay.
My phone is 309-779-2242.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Once again, for your question, press star one. There's a question from Susan Harbaugh. Your line is open.
Hi, folks. I just wanted to echo the same sentiments as the prior caller. I also ran into this recently where it appears SAS is totaling everything together and not working so well. So I just wanted to support that previous caller.
Okay.
Then I've also got another question. I was having some problems with some rejections, like that had exceeded its service limits for an individual, yet we had asked for prior authorization. I was told some of this is due to the way HFS, the order in which they're processing claims, and also that the collaborative is not necessarily keeping up with their records. So a combination of the two is causing some of those G84 errors, I believe it was. Can you comment on any of that situation?
No, I'm sorry. We don't, this is, the claims processing is outside the scope of this call. And we don't have the people on this call from HFS that might be able to answer that.
But could you comment on the collaborative? For instance, this authorization started in September, and what I was told at HFS that she could see somewhere in the collaborative's records, this had not been processed till March 14th or something like that. So when we were sending in records, it didn't even realize this authorization was out there somehow. Is there some coordination between the collaborative and HFS somehow with these authorizations?
I don't know. What I do know is, and you know, I don't know anything about G84 errors. I don't even know what that means. What I do know is that we became aware of a situation where the collaborative's computer system is more flexible than the HFS system. And so we had to go back in and manually adjust dates of authorizations because, for instance, with ACT, with an ACT authorization, you know, we give you like a 2-week window before it expires that you can go in and request the next authorization. So that you don't have any lapse in any days that aren't authorized for ACT. And so traditionally what had been the case when the collaborative processed the claims, when everything was handled through the collaborative, was if you had an auth that was expiring on March 30th, so you requested the next auth on March 17th, the collaborative could authorize that new authorization for March 17th, even though there was already one in the system that was good through March 30th. But the HFS system can't handle that concept of two authorizations for the same service being existing at the same time. So we became aware of that, and the collaborative actually went back in and manually adjusted dates of authorization. So for that example, they'd go back in and they'd remove that March 17th date and put it in as April 1st. So you'd have one that went through March 31st, I guess. This is a 31-day month. So they'd go in, you'd have the one that would go through the 30th, then you'd have a new one starting on the 31st. So I don't know if what you're talking about is something like that or if it's something completely different. I don't know. There are still a lot of issues being kind of sorted out with us finding out that the HFS system isn't talking with the collaborative system. And again, we don't have the IT people on this call. That was never the intention of this call.
Oh,
so
right.
I don't know that I can go into any more detail, and I don't know that anyone from the collaborative can offer anything else. Pat or Todd, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, this is Pat, and basically you've explained it very well. The two systems aren't talking. I do know that the IT people are talking frequently, like multiple times a day, and actively working to solve the problem. But, yeah, the two computer systems aren't working real well together right now, and that's the issue that we're trying to solve.
Which is incredibly frustrating at the provider level. We're, 9 months into the system and still working out the bugs?
I hear you.
We're not getting paid in the meantime. But I appreciate your efforts.
I wish I had something better to tell you, but That's all I can offer right
I
now.
I wish I had something better.
And my empathy and sympathy.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. There is a question from Jackie Robertson. Your line is open.
Hello. Hi, Jackie. Go ahead. Hi. I am actually calling in regards to an ACT authorization that I put into the collaborative's website about a month ago. Our agency received a phone call back from one of the clinical workers stating that the ACT authorization had been denied due to no Medicaid eligibility. I try to verify Medicaid eligibility before I do the ACT authorizations because I know that's a requirement, and this individual did have Medicaid. I spoke to someone there, and she recommended that I talk to HFS, and I've been and multiple phone calls with HFS for the last month, and this, I guess it was yesterday, spoke to an individual, and they verified with me that the individual did have Medicaid, and that at that point there was not a whole lot more that they could help me with, and they suggested that I try to do the authorization again and send in a copy of, or a print of the Medicaid eligibility from Medi. So I did that. I resubmitted the ACT authorization yesterday along with a letter explaining the situation with the screenshot of the Medi system verifying the individual did have Medicaid. We received a phone call today saying the client was being denied again because the client did not have Medicaid. And I've talked to a gentleman there, and then I've left a voicemail for Callie explaining the entire situation that this individual does have Medicaid. I've provided the proof, and yet they're still denying the ACT authorization. So I'm just not sure where else I need to go to get this taken care of because we are providing services to this individual.
This is Pat. Let me get your contact information, and I'll look into it and get back to you.
Okay. My name's Jackie Robertson, and you can reach me at 309-671-8035.
Okay, I'll get back to you, Jackie.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
At this time, there are no further questions.
Okay, I'd just like to wait maybe just another minute.
Once again, any question, press star one. One moment. There is a question from Lori Keeler. Your line is open.
Hi, this is Lori Keller from Thresholds. I just wanted to back up the last caller's issue. I had the same issue happen to me last week, and I'm starting to see it, and I know there was a time frame last year when this happened, so I don't know if there are some updating issues that are happening with the system, but I just wanted to kind of chime in and say that I'm also finding conflicts with Medi clearly saying the person has Medicaid. It doesn't even look like there was a gap or rent issues or anything like that, and was denied, so I had to kind of resolve it through phone calls, and it worked out fine for me, but there might be some bigger issue at hand.
Thanks for that, Lori, and we definitely need to, go back to the IT folks and have them look into the issue, we will certainly do that. Thanks for letting us know that.
Sure.
There are no further questions at this time.
Okay, thank you, Audra. If there are no more questions in the queue, then that will conclude our call for today. I would like to remind the audience that today's call audio will be posted under the Provider Resources heading on the provider information page of the collaborative's website. It will be downloaded in 2 to 3 business days. So, Audra, can you please push the speakers through to post-conference, and that will conclude our call.
Certainly. Today's call has concluded. Thank you for participating. Please disconnect your phone line at this time.